Okay, this is our 16th shiur in the Sefer Musar Avicha. We're on page Samach Beis. Page Samach Beis in the Sefer. Today is the 19th of Tammuz, the 9th of July. You'll recall from last time we began Perek Gimel, the third chapter, which is about Berurei Midos HaNefesh, which means the clarifying or purifying of the Midos of the Nefesh. And Rav Kook speaks about a concept which he calls Nesiras HaMidos, which means basically carving the Midos. It means pruning off the impurities. And we spoke about how he apparently uses that term because that's the term used in Kabbalah Svarim. But the idea at a simple and applicable level is to carve off the parts or the elements that go along with a positive midah, which look similar to it but are actually negative. Every general positive trait, if we're not very precise in defining it and in acquiring it, we schlep along with it some negatives that can actually be pretty bad when they're brought to fruition. So we have to be mavara, we have to clarify the midos. So as I was walking home last week, I had the following thought. If you turn to the second to last page of this whole book, the second half of the book is an alphabetical listing of midos, just short ideas on different midos. You can see it's alphabetical. So he has two midos to start with a tough, two concepts in midos start with a tough. One is tochecha, one is tikkun. Tochecha is rebuke. So this page, second to last page in the whole book, it occurred to me, I'd seen this before, and it occurred to me as I was leaving, this is related, this is a corollary of what he's talking about here. Tochecha's rebuke, he writes, Yesh la'ayin, one has to analyze, bedarkei b'nei adam, in the ways of people, maybe those people who are under our charge or whom we have influence on, one has to analyze in their ways. Kisherotzim lahochiach eza ish, when you want to rebuke, when you want to constructively criticize a certain person, lahasiro midarko, to take him away from his path, he's not on a good path. So you have to be ma'ayin, you have to look carefully. Why? Ulai zeha derech lefi inyano tovahi. Maybe this path that he is on, per his situation, is actually good. Afal pishi yesh ba chesronos. Even though it has failures, it has failings. Avol b'chesronos seha, meginos olav ba'ar chesronos yotzer atzumos. But with its shortcomings, it protects him from greater shortcomings. Then he writes, Hashem Yisbarach yadrichenu b'magle tzedek, God should guide us on the right path, shalof amen pitui hayetzehu lishtakeya b'tochochos l'kol echad. Because sometimes it's the seduction of the Yetzer Hara to get involved, to get steeped in rebuke of everybody. In other words, I see what's wrong with him, and I see what's wrong with him. He's saying it might be correct, but the person is not up to that tochacha. It's true, there's something wrong with his behavior, but in his situation, that protects him from even worse behaviors. Ein zekiyim ro'a lev, and it could actually be coming from a bad place in the heart to be rebuking. I think that this is a corollary of the same thing. You can have somebody who's starting off in midos and he gets excited with a certain midos. It could be he's defining it very coarsely. So he conjured up this midos that he's going to run with, and a person who has a more precise view of the midos recognizes that the midos that he's running with, there's actually a lot of negative in it. So I'm ready to tell him, oh no, this is no good and that's no good. And what's going to happen? You're going to shoot the whole thing down. You're going to knock out the whole... this happens a lot with children when they get inspired to something good. That's a lot of times when kids get involved in Torah learning, so then they won't eat in your house either. A lot of other
things. Come back from seminary.
Right. So you have to be careful not to shoot down the whole thing. It takes a maturity to do this Nesiras HaMidos, and the person who's starting out might not have that sophistication yet. But if you start pointing out all of the shortcomings, you might ruin the whole inspiration. So you have to be very careful. I think that's what he means when he says in Tochacha. Sometimes for a person, he says, Kifi Inyano, according to his Inyan, means where he's at his station in life. It's not a permanent station, but at that person's current situation, to do too much rebuke it's not going to be a good thing. You can lose the inspiration. A lot of initial steps in Avodas Hashem are actually inaccurate. They come with imprecision, and they need to be fine-tuned, they need to be honed. But if you shoot the whole thing down, or if you attack it too much, too early, it can be very discouraging. So I think that's what he means. There he's talking about in someone else and being careful. Here he's talking about in ourselves. So in ourselves, we have to be more critical. But he says, bear in mind that on somebody else, you have to be careful with how we rebuke. I think it's a corollary of this exact concept. So he gave an example of Mesiras HaMidos, which we're going to continue talking about now, which is the Mida of Gvura. Gvura is really perseverance, or perseverance is part of Gvura. Gvura means might. And he says in order to serve Hashem properly, one needs the perseverance and the strength of character to carry through that which has to be done and not to be discouraged. But he's going to explain to us soon that Gvura can bring with it some negative midas too. So we're actually in the middle of discussing Gvura. Let's take a look on page Samach Beis, the first full paragraph. I think I summarized this last time. Now we'll read it. Hechosid ben Mesilas Yesharim, the righteous one. That's Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato in the Mesilas Yesharim. And Mesilas Yesharim is a readable sefer. There are many other svarim of his that are deeply Kabbalistic, which Rav Kook and other great Chachamim quote, that are much harder to read. But this one is a readable sefer, and we do, it is common. So he writes in Mesilas Yesharim, Bir Bahaktamasu, he explains in his Akdama, in his introduction, Sibas Menias Umiyot Halimud Binyane Havoda, the reason for the refraining and the little bit of study of matters of service of Hashem. In other words, people don't learn what we call today Musar enough. I'll do a little bit of it, but then I'll go on to other things. I'm not going to get too involved in it. Kemoha Ava V'Hayira V'Tikkun HaMidos, like learning about love of Hashem, fear of Hashem, fixing the Midos that we have in our interactions with others. Why? Why is that? Why is it that it doesn't get sufficient focus? Which I was just talking to somebody on Shabbos about how Rabbi Yisrael Salanter didn't innovate Musar. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter changed an emphasis, but Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato is much earlier, and he writes about how we have to work on these things in common history. We simplify things. Oh, there was the Musar movement, as if it didn't exist before. We had Sifrei Yira before, and they bemoaned the same problems. So the Mesilas Yesharim discusses why is that people don't study these things enough. Shum mipnei shapirsum gadol b'chiyuvim hakloli. That's because their general obligation is very famous, very well known. Ve'al kein sovrim b'nei adam she'ein tzarech l'ayin b'hem. And therefore people think you don't have to analyze it too much. Yeah, everybody knows you have to fear God, you have to love God. B'yesodoseim u'b'froteim. To start studying their foundational principles and their details. Mesilas Yesharim has that concept of that which is the most well-known is the most ignored. And there's a lot like that in Judaism, that we emphasize the basics. The things that are more common in Judaism are actually the holier things. Just like air is the most essential, the things we do daily in our service of God are actually more important than the things we do once a year. The praises we say of Hashem daily are considered more important. And let's say, for example, in the pecking order of what I would skip if I'm running late in shul, if it's Shabbos, the special things for Shabbos go out first. The things you say every day go out last because they're considered more basic. We emphasize the basics. The more common things are the more important things, but people don't think that way. So that's the Mesilas Yesharim's rule, and he talks about it at length. Achein says Rav Kook, he's just mentioning that because he wants to give another reason. Yesh od siva ikaris biyoser lazeh. There's another fundamental cause, which he holds even more fundamental, v'hu chesron midas hagvura, which is the lack of this trait of vura. He says where it's really coming from is that I don't feel in myself the perseverance to really carry through. Why don't we pursue a study of this mida and that mida and the other? Because it's so hard that it's easier to just avoid it. That when a person starts to analyze these matters, these lofty matters, he becomes, Harada is trembling. He's frightened. V'nechalash, and he feels weakened. Mitzad ra'oso atzmo rochok mehashlamas hachiyuvim hagdolim hashavim. When he sees himself accurately, far away from completing the great obligations, and these, I'm so far from where I really should be. So it's disheartening. Al kein tzarech loze gvura gadolo, so it requires a great might, a great strength. Shebedato sheikar hashlemus toli behashlamas yedias hatar lamitaso, that when he knows well that the main pursuit of growth, of completion, is dependent on knowing the Torah and its truth, knowing what it really means, not just saying words, but understanding. Lo yipo levavo, so his heart won't fall, meaning he won't get discouraged. Via ayin b'chol darkei havod v'chasidus, and he'll analyze all the ways of service and of righteousness. V'lo yecharad yosar midai m'pnei ra'osa atzma rachok mehem, and he won't be overly he won't be overly overcome with quaking from the fact that he sees himself far away. Yeah, I am far away from it, but I'm on the path. A person who set out on a long journey but knows he has all the materials necessary to get there. It's going to be hard, but I can do this. That's the way the person will serve Hashem. It is far away, but we're going. We mapped it out all out, and we have it all planned out. We're going to do this. It's a long journey, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. A Chinese proverb. Rak b'yishuv hadas v'gvuras nefesh, rather with tranquility. Yishuv hadas means not being in a state of tumult and chaos, but he's collected. V'gvuras nefesh in a sense of strength of the soul. Yecharat means to be decisive. L'hishtadel, to make an effort. L'haknos l'atzmo shleimusim, to give to himself this completion. Uchishatishlam lo bohem ha'avona ba'amitas eze prat nochon, sheyia roi leskaul etzla lemais v'anhaga. And when it will be completed for him, the understanding of the truth of any detail of the service of Hashem, he's going to right away inculcate that within himself. Lema'asa means to apply it, v'anhaga, the way he'll conduct himself. He'll acquire these midos and make them applicable in his character. Omnam lo b'nokol yikna ha'adam midos ha'gvura. But it's not easy. It's not with ease that a person acquires the trait of gvura. U'be'emes rak al yedei hator u'shkidasa kona'osa. And the truth is only through Torah and toil in Torah does he acquire it. Kimosha kosov. Ani bina li gvura. That's in Mishle. In the 8th chapter of Mishle, the Torah is talking. A number of psukim. And the Torah says, I mean, it's explicit that way. And the Torah says, I am bina, I am Torah understanding. To me is gvura, which means that gvura, the trait, ultimately comes from Torah. This is a recurring principle that you'll see in many places, which is we have almost a vicious cycle. How do you acquire Torah? With these traits. But the only way to get these traits is with Torah. So how does it start? It starts with a little bit that a person has to develop on his own, and then the Torah helps him further. If you look in Pirkei Avos, on the one hand it says that you can only study Torah if you have humility. On the other hand, it says that a person who studies Torah at a high level, Torah Lishma, so Malbashto Anovit, cloaks him in humility, which is something we quoted last time. So which way is it? Do I first have humility and then I study Torah, or does Torah make me humble? The answer is there's an entry level you need. The person has to work on himself almost cold turkey, without help. And then by studying Torah, that furthers the process. I remember when our Rosh Hashiva, Rav Zelig Epstein, spoke on the yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Shkup, the great Rosh Hashiva, who he's married to his granddaughter, he was. So he said, nowadays people like to hear stories. People like to hear stories. He said, the stories people will tell you about Rav Shimon Shkup, you'll hear about other people too. They're nice stories, but they don't tell you that much. He said, but what I can tell you is that when it came to him, the Torah made him that way. His midos were a product of completion in Torah, not a forced inconsistent midah, but a consistent midah that comes from the Torah. So he says we need some initial gvura, and then as you study Torah, it gives you more gvura. It's hard. I mean, you look at the perseverance of some of the Chachma Yisrael, some of the great sages over the different generations. If you study the circumstances of their lives and look at the contributions, written contributions, and not leaving aside even a lot of the works that we've lost, but people who lived short and difficult lives and left such immense, clear systems in Torah that are used to this day, it takes enormous perseverance. These were in times when you didn't have a word processor and you didn't save it on your computer and come back. It was all handwritten and it was clear. I mean, look at the works of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. I mean, these are enormous. It takes tremendous gvura. And that has to ultimately come from some help from above. Ach mi she'en ruach ha-gvura no seses bo, but a person who doesn't have a spirit of gvura, like sparkling within him, eino batuach she'yatzliach, he's not at all secure or certain that he'll be successful. V'yasechayel, that he'll accrue wealth, b'harboso ba'ilu ha'yunim, when he does a lot of these analyses, meaning he'll read these things, but he's not at all secure, we're not at all sure that he'll get anywhere. If he doesn't have the midas ha'gvura, he can be very wise, very smart. But this is a different midah, the midah of perseverance and strength of character to carry through what it takes. I can be very smart, but if I don't have that other midah, I'll learn it all, but it won't get anywhere. Why? Shebuchulshas kocho, because due to the weakness of his might, of his strength, lo yuchal lifol b'hem karo, he won't be able to do with them properly. Al kain, therefore, ro'i lehishtada l'midas ha'gvura, it is appropriate, it is fitting, it is necessary to work hard at the midah of gvura, v'taharasa, and its purity, v'al yisoda, and on its foundation, livnos binyan limud ha'yunem ha'musarim v'alokim. It's on the foundation of gvura to build the study and the analysis of Musar and the study of Musar and the godly studies. These things have to be based on gvura. If I don't approach it with gvura, I just want to approach it with my intellect, I'm not going to get very far. Top of Samach Gimel, V'chein. I think when he says V'chein, I think he means, and thus, Gvuras HaNefesh Himidi Yekara Ma'od, strength of the soul is a very dear and valuable midah, Mitztareches L'chol Kinyan HaShlemus Bein Befrat Bein Bechlal, which is needed for all acquisition of, again, we keep using this word Shlemus, which in English translates as completion, but we mean development. Great development is a better translation than completion, because we're never complete, but we work at Shlemus, whether individually or collectively, the individual or the klal. Aval, however, ma'atim heim hakonim osa al taharasa, it is few who acquire it in its purity. What does he mean? What does he mean in its purity? He's talking about this concept to get just the midah without the impurity that can go along with it. To get just the meat without the fat, few people actually get it that way. Mipnei shehi gam matzronis bitziyura lakama midos ra'os. Because it is also matzronis. You'll recall from last time the word matzronis is the term he used, and it's a term used in the Mishnah and the Gemara. It means something that neighbors on something else. I mentioned last time in the halachic discussions, it's that if I own a property and I'm selling the adjacent property, the neighbor who lives next to it has the first right to it, because it's obviously nicer for him to have two adjacent properties, and there are all kinds of halachas about bar mitzara, somebody who neighbors with someone else. So he's using that terminology in midos. There are midos that neighbor, that border on another one. So he says, in its tzir, in its picture, the way it looks in the mind's eye to many people, it neighbors very closely with several bad midas. What are they? Ka'as, anger, gaiva, arrogance, sinna, hatred, nitzachon, having to always be victorious, to one-up the other guy, nekima, revenge, v'chayotzebo, and other wonderful things. Okay? Just in general, softer midos are in one category, and harsher midos are in another category. You know, like how often do you read of people who, in order to get something done, they have to step on other people, even in the secular and the non-religious realm. It can happen in the religious realm also. Gvura is to be a bulldozer. So a person has to be careful when he's a bulldozer. That doesn't mean he's plowing through other people. So therefore, one has to be very careful that the gvura is only where it's supposed to be, but it doesn't have these other midos that tend, in the imprecise acquisition of gvura, they tend to go along with it. So he says, what happens? Therefore, yeshiti matzei bein osam shelo samu aliba miras Hashem. You'll find gvura among those who haven't really taken to heart yiras Hashem. You understand the general need to get somewhere. You have to have this perseverance, strength of character, but they haven't analyzed, okay, but unvozokot, you know, what does God say? How am I really supposed to do this? Am I being careful that I'm doing it properly? So therefore, they'll have it, but they haven't dissected it carefully. Therefore, avol im shcheno se'aha ra'os, but you will find gvura. Yeah, the man's got gvura. He's got it, but he's got it with all the other bad neighbors, and that's a terrible thing. Now, on the other hand, uva'anoshim shenotu shichmam lisbol ol yira, but among people who have turned their shoulder to bear the burden of Yiras Hashem, okay, I have to be careful how I do things, can't just run with it, I have to, what does Hashem say, how is this really supposed to be done? But v'lo hishtadu la'ayin b'protius takonos midoseihem. These are people who are more fearful. In fact, the Ramban says a very famous thing, avas Hashem is expansive, Yiras Hashem is retracting, recoiling. Ava is not afraid to expand, to move forward, and Yira is to recoil. So a person who has a sense of Yira is always nervous about moving forward. What are the pitfalls? So he sees anger, arrogance, hatred, trying to show someone up, revenge, staying away from this. He has Yira. The person who is not fearful, well, I see the end goal, I want to get this job done, so he runs with the guru. Doesn't see those things. The person who has who's more fearful sees those bad things, and therefore he recoils. And lo hivchinu beino lebein shchenoseh hasavavos osa, and they haven't discerned between it and its bad neighbors that surround it. So what happens to the Baal Yira, the person with fear who doesn't distinguish, he does the opposite. The person who doesn't have Yira grabs them all. The person who has Yira grabs none, because he doesn't see the difference. I don't know, the people who I see who have that trait, they're angry people and they're hateful people, and so his nichua kula, so he abandons it all. Those people abandon it entirely. So basically, either way is no good. You have a person who takes on gvura with its bad traits, with its surrounding bad traits, or if you have the person who rejects the bad traits but throws out the baby with the bathwater, neither one has proper gvura. Okay? Ach b'derach ha-ra'uya, but in the proper way, lahafrid, to separate, v'lavor psolus mitocha ochel, and to separate the impurity from the food, and that's the terminology we do use. If anybody who studied Hilchos Shabbos knows, we always talk about that on Shabbos, when you do breira, when you do borer, when you separate, you have to take the good from the bad, and you have to do it by hand, and you have to do it right before you eat it. Those are the three rules where we talk about psolus and ochel, the impurity and the food. So he's pulling out the impurity, so he's left only with the good. When a person will do that, kol shcheinoseh haraos tasarnu l'mishmata. He says if it's done properly, not only will he not practice the bad midas, but the negative midas will, to be sar l'mishmata means to be subordinate. They will listen to it. In other words, if he says, no, I just want the gvur, this perseverance in avodas Hashem, I don't want any negative attributes that come along with it, and he has a clear definition, then ka'as, anger, will listen, and anger therefore will only show itself when it's supposed to be, which is rare, and sino, all the other midas will listen to it. El hatov ayosher b'eini Hashem yisbarach, they'll listen to what is good and proper in the eyes of Hashem. I mean, that paragraph is such a classic. It's exactly what happens. Some people just, they got the good midas somewhere in there, but they got all the other bad stuff with it, and that turns off other people from that good midah, and it can be a bull in a china shop. And some people see that and therefore recoil from the whole thing. And either way, the true trait of gvura is left unaccomplished. So
an important lesson in too, that we kind of
yeah
to think about. not only your own self, but you have to think about how is it looking to somebody who's going to learn from you.
Right, right. The midos, to be exercised properly, really have, they need high definition. And way too, I mean, so much of a Yisrael Salanter's Musar is about be careful when you're engaging Musar, when you're inspired in something, be careful about how you implement it. The famous Chazal, it says, Kol HaGodol Mechaveiro Yitzro Godol Heimenu, whoever is greater than his friend, his Yetzirah is also greater. So Yisrael Salanter says it doesn't mean that a greater person has a more coarse and base Yetzirah. The Chavetz Chaim has a greater Yetzirah to do some gross Avera than some guy on the street. It doesn't make sense. But what he says is that when a person is greater, the dangers, when a person has higher and stronger midos, the dangers are much greater. First of all, because it can cause a Chilul Hashem, it can mislead others. Plus, he's just a more powerful person in his ruchnias. So if he does have those other negative midos that are schlepped along with it, the damage is much greater. If we do an Avera in the Beis HaMikdash, it's worse than doing an Avera in a bar. So therefore, the higher sanctuary that a person has brought himself into, the more careful he has to be. So he says, Aldera, so those were really, that was an example. It's an important example, so he got into the details of it. But Gvura versus the surrounding Midas is an important example of Nesira, of carving off the bad parts of a Mida. Or I shouldn't say bad parts, they look like bad parts, but they're not really part of it. The imposters that look similar. Al derech zeh, along these lines, similar to this, ravu hamidos shetzrichos nesira. They are abundant. There are many. Ravu is really a verb. Abound. That's it. They abound. The midos that require carving. Shekol zman shehin devuko zu bazu. Because so long as they are stuck one to the other, lo tevienna pri bracha. They will not bring fruits of blessing. They don't bring good fruits. Like in kashrus, if it's 80% kosher but 20% non-kosher, it doesn't do very much for us. If it's 80% healthy, it has multi-grain and antioxidants, but it's 20% poison, it doesn't, not good. So, amnam, however, yeshnam kochos nafshiyim shehem mismatzrim bahar beit stodim bekochos roev. There are some traits of the soul, faculties of the soul, that again, mismatzrim from the word meitzah, that they border in on many sides with bad midas, berov shimushem in most of their application. V'yeshnam shemismatzrim rak b'ma'at roim, and there are those that border just on some bad traits. V'havchona bozeh toil lahoros hadrochim shebahem teitzeh hamidah l'cheiris mibein shechina roim. And avchana is discernment, and like a bechina is a test. Right? I don't know if it's a base or an acid. So you put the paper in. To be mavchin, lahavchin ben yom uvein laila, to discern between day and night. So avchana means analysis, but it means discerning, to be able to tell the difference, will help us. So that process, that study, does a lot to bring the mida out to freedom from among its bad neighbors. The more we study about it, okay, what is true Ahavas Hashem? What is true Gvura? What is it? The more we study about it, the more we bring it out in its pure form without the accompaniment of the bit. So he gives another, he talks about another Mida here. Ha'anova hi Mida Tova. Humility is a good Mida. Based on what we learned in the previous section, that's an understatement. He spoke about how humility is the core of it all, and he said at a very deep level, humility really comes from the recognition that we don't have independent existence, and it's all Ratzon Hashem, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble. Anava is the core of it all, but it's certainly a good midah, at the very least. Kishiyodeya inyan ha'anava umusaga hetiv, when he knows the concept of humility very well. V'yodeya eich lehisnahig ba ulachnisa benafsho. When he knows how to conduct himself with it and how to bring it into his soul. Avol, however, bahashkofa shitchis, with a superficial view, timoshech achre midas ha'anava midas ha'etzavon. Anava will draw after it, will schlep along with it the trait of sadness, of depression. Mipnei shetziyuron hachitzoni hu karov zelazeh. Because their outer image, in their outer image, they are very near to each other. Some people look at Muslims and say, oh, it's depressing. I was feeling so good about myself. Then I went to this shir, I studied the sefer. Oh, I'm no good. But says Rav Kook, but that's a total mistake. That's an absolute, we may be getting there, but it means we don't yet have the proper picture, because in its true form, they're not the same at all. But now he's going to explain the problem. Why is it that they look similar? And this is similar to what I was just saying. Shahasimcha himifazeres hakochas anafshim. Because joy, himifazer really means to scatter, but let's say it disperses, spreads out. Joy pervades, spreads out the spiritual faculty, the spiritual power. Vahagayva gamke himifazeres, as does arrogance. Ela shahasimcha mifazeres ba'ofan hatov, except that joy spreads out in a good way, v'hagayva mifazeres al derech ra, but arrogance spreads it out in a bad way. V'ha'anava mikabetes u'miyashevis, humility gathers in and holds down, v'chein ha'otzav, as does sadness. Ela sheze al derech tov, v'ze al derech ra, except that this is in a good way and this is in a bad way. So their effect is similar. We know that simcha, is joy, is so important in Avodas Hashem. There's a famous piece in the great Sochachev Rebbe of Avram of Sochachev, known as the Avni Nezer. So he wrote a sefer on the 39 Melachos, not really on all 39, but he wrote a book called the Egle Tal. Tal is Lamed Tes, it's 39. It's a book on the Melachos, it's a very learned work, it's cited all the time. And in his introduction, he quotes the Zohar. It's a piece of Zohar, but everybody quotes it from the Egle Tal, where he says, the Zohar says that both the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, the bad, evil inclination and the good inclination, both of them respectively grow from joy. Joy makes things grow. So if you take the Yetzer Hara out and you give it a good time, so it grows. If you take the Yetzer Tov out and you give it a good time, so then it grows, which is why the service of Hashem has to be with joy. If you have a person in his life when he's doing something that's not so good at best, that's a grand time. And when you bring him to something that's good, it's boring and it's constricting and it's rigid. So we're not going to go anywhere good. The Yetzer Tov needs to have a good time also. So that's what makes it grow. So Simcha is very important. Simcha is expansive. Arrogance is also expansive. Humility contracts. Sadness contracts, but one of these is good and one of them is not. Per that, v'kach, and so, midas ha'anava hatova, the trait of humility, which is a good trait, mismatzeres, and midas ha'atvus arai, it borders upon the trait of sadness, which is bad, kishelo yislamed befratius, when he doesn't train himself. Lilmod is to learn, lehislamed is a training. It's where you're learning that's done to oneself. It really means a training. So if he doesn't train himself specifically, meaning with the details, not some general vague idea, but specifically, hands-on, eich lahotzias midos of me'akoach el hapoel, how to bring out his midos from potential to fruition, oz kishiyala alibo midos ha'anava, if he doesn't do that, then when he has in his mind, when he's inspired to the trait of humility, v'yirtza lahamshef b'tziyura, and I want to draw its picture upon himself, v'tziyura bo al yedei hakaras katnus erko, and its image comes from the recognition of the smallness of his value. What's humility? Who am I? What am I? I'm nothing. U'midas ha'atvas gamkein bo al yedei hakaras chesronosav. Sadness also comes from realizing his failings, his shortcomings. Al Kain, therefore, Tavona, turning the page, Tavona lo shtehen biyachad. They're both going to come to him together. He wants to be humble, and he ends up being depressed. And what will happen? Va'atzvus, and this trait of sadness, ta'arve v'taktir kol nom ha'anav v'ziva. It'll confound and it'll blacken and depress all of the beauty, the pleasantness of humility in its radiance. Humility is really a radiant trait, but if it comes with sadness, it's going to ruin the whole thing. Ube'emes, and in truth, afal pisha mitzar chitzoniyusan, from the perspective of their exterior, kimo derech echad lahen, it's like they have one path, they look the same. Aval ba'omek sharashayin, at the depth of their roots, hein rechokos ma'od zumizu, they're very far one from the other. Ki ha'atzvus lo tavo kiyim achare hachlito hayos erko ha'ishi merumam, Sadness comes from his decision, his reaching a conclusion that his real personal value is lofty and he's worthy of great accolades. Ulamoras rucho hu motze ba'atzmo chesronos u'machzor. But much to his chagrin, he finds himself in a state of smallness and lacking. Shelo karo'ilo, as is not fitting for him. In other words, if a person sees himself not the way he's supposed to be, I'm supposed to be great. I alone deserve great honor, and if I'm in this state of smallness, then he's depressed because things are not how they're supposed to be. V'ze b'vadei ma'adiv le'eva nefesh. This certainly saddens the heart and the soul. V'ein bo mimidas ha'emes. And it's not true. It's not accurate. Aval ha'anova ba'a achari yediyasa she'ein inyanu ba'atzma ro'i al shum gedula. Humility comes after he has the strong awareness, knowledge, that he himself is not really worthy of elevation or greatness. V'chol gedula v'tova she'tagiyeyu hi chesed Hashem yisbarach olav. And any greatness that comes to him is a kindness of Hashem. This needs a lot of explanation, I think, but it doesn't mean that we're not great. We are great, but as a gift from Hashem, ultimately it's Ritzon Hashem that is great. I per se, as we were talking about in the previous section, which got very deep, but the only thing that must exist is God, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only thing that ultimately is important is His will. Whatever goodness I have is because He bestowed it upon me. So the best thing I can do is to commune with the will of Hashem. As we mentioned in the last section, man is given this conflict because since Hashem gives us independent existence, we have a Yetzer Hara of thinking, yeah, and therefore I, as distinct from you, God, am worthy. You gave me my own existence, and therefore, as a rebellious, this is the whole struggle in life, I feel like I'm something aside from you. When man realizes that he's just a product of Hashem, and the Ratzon Hashem, and whatever opportunity he has to relate to that and to work on that is a great gift, then he doesn't feel that way. So humility is different. So, oz yeh shuffle b'einav, then he is low in his eyes, v'nigra b'erko, and small in his value, aval etzev lo yeda, but he knows no sadness. I really deserve better, that makes a person sad. But wow, I have such a gift, this is great, makes a person happy. This is so great because I don't really deserve, I alone, I separately, I'm not really anything, but Hashem gave me this wonderful life, these wonderful gifts, then he's happy. Rak yismach b'menas gorelo. Rather, he will rejoice in his lot, in the gift of his lot. If you look at the David HaMelech and Tehillim and what Moshe Rabbeinu says and Shlomo HaMelech, all the others, their tefillos of thanksgiving start from, who am I? I'm a worm and not a man. What do I deserve? And yet you've given me this and you've given me that. When David HaMelech thanks Hashem, when he promises him, don't worry, your son will build the base of Migdash. He said, what am I? What do I deserve? If it comes from the recognition that I alone don't really deserve anything, but you gave me this great gift, so it's a humility that brings with it great joy. And the little bit of good that he finds within himself, he will thank Hashem for his great chesed. V'gam yizdarez liknos od harbe malos chamudos, and he will be energized, he'll have his rizos, alacrity, to try to acquire many more of these treasured traits, whatever man can achieve in his lifetime. Shekevan sheroa, since he sees, she'im hayosa bilti roi, despite his being not fit, mitzad atzmo, from the perspective of his self per se, Nevertheless, Gavar Olav Chesed Hashem Yisparach Lehitivo. Nevertheless, Hashem's Chesed, his burgeoning great Chesed, has been so good to do good to him. Kozos Yaspik Gamkein Lahaknoso Gedulos Vinaflos Meila. So that can also give him even greater things. I wasn't deserving it in the first place, and he gave me chesed, he can give me more too, and I'm going to try to acquire it. But I myself am small, and whatever I have is a great gift. It's not the same at all as atzilus, sadness. Okay, let's see section Bays. Peruta yesodos amidos midas agaiva, the specifics in the foundations, the midas, and as an example, I believe, the trait of arrogance. He says, b'chol amidos kasher nachper ladas ikar sharshan. All of the midas, when we analyze to try to know the root, their real root, eich lizor me surayin, how to be wary of their prohibition, we're not allowed to have bad midas, for the lechas b'hen v'derach ha-yishara, and to go with them in the proper path, Sarich lahavin chomer hamida. You have to understand the material, the ingredients of that mida. Mahusa, its essence. Vitzurasa, and its form. And just like, you know, if you're there's material and there's a form. This is wood, but it's in the form of a table. A lot of the Kabbalists talk about tzura and chomer. There's the material and there's also the form of it, and there's also it's mahus. What is a table? It's something you can lean on, something you can eat on. So these are, midos have the same thing. What are the ingredients that go into it? What's the shape of it? And what's the function of it? These are all definitions that have to be given. You know, as if we would say that, I don't know, anger comes from a heat, and it comes from a non-control. And what does it do? It offends others. What, you know, the midos have to be defined very precisely. So vihine. Behold, kemosh anu roim shekol achamarim hagashmiim, as we see that all of the physical materials, murkavim yisodos, they are combined, compounds from different elements, v'gam ha-yisodos ba'atzmam murkavim, and the elements themselves are compounds of other things. In the scientific world, we know this. There are elements and the things that make up the molecules, things that make up the atoms, and so on. Kefi haklal ha'amiti shehodiyunu chachme ha'emes, as per the principle that the chachme ha'emes usually means mekubalim, the Kabbalist HaTorah, she'ein metzius pshuta zulos ha'matzil ein sof ha'kol ha'olam kula baruch hu. There is no existence pshuta, that is singular, that is without compound, that is without things that attach to it, except for the existence of the Ein Sof, the infinite, that's Hashem, the Ein Sof HaKol HaOlam Baruch Hu, the one who is infinite upon the whole world, the only, there's a Chazal say, the only Echad is Hashem, everything else is not Echad, so many created nature, everything works by interacting with other things, Hashem interacts with nothing, his existence is Pashut, Pashut doesn't mean simple, it means devoid of anything else. Everything else, no matter how mighty in the world, one element interacts with another, which causes an effect, and so on. V'afilu ha-sfiros ha-yonos murkavos, even the lofty spheros, which is an idea in Kabbalah, they are grafted, they are combined, umimuzogos, and they are mixed. Michlolos hamidos shamayla, from the different traits of above. I can say those words, can't say that I know exactly what I'm talking about. But she'ein davar shebekdusha pachos me'asara. Interesting, he's that we have a concept that a minyan requires 10 people. The way that our sages articulate that is no thing in holiness can be with less than 10. Apparently, at a deeper Kabbalistic level, what that means is even holy things have to have interactions of 10 different lofty midos or concepts, but the only thing that's one is Hashem. Even the loftiest things that we perceive and even in the spiritual realm, they're combined. They interact with each other. Everything is made of ingredients and ingredients of ingredients. The alkane, so the point of all that is that therefore everything that we analyze is complicated because its materials are not, there's not one ingredient. Our midos have, you know, you ever look at a very artificial product and you see all those chemicals. Our midos have a lot of lines of ingredients also. V'alkein tzarech lahavinas hachomer, therefore you have to understand the material, kemoshehu, the way it really is, v'ikar harkavosa, and its primary combination. U'kemokein, and similarly, gam hamidos shebenefesh, morkavos mikochos yisodiyim. The traits in the soul are made up of many different elements. ukefi harkavasam yishtan, and per the way they are combined, you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you end up with a different product than if you mix it differently. Vitzarach ha-ma'ayin lo da'as ha-emes, lachkar al prote harkavasam machlokoseim. A person who is analyzing in order to know the truth has to analyze the details of how they've been combined and divided. If you really want to understand something, you have to get a chemist and figure out what's in there. What are we looking at? So the same is true of midos. When we talk very generally, I find myself being arrogant. But what exactly? What? Where exactly is it coming from? What are the details of that midah? That's what he talks about right here in Samachay. Kein gam midas hagayva bevadai. Certainly, therefore, the trait of arrogance. Kemo kol hamidas, like all midas. Chomra eino poshut. Its chomer, its material, is not simple. And it's not one. Elam workov mitchunos pratis. Rather, it's combined of different characteristics. Amnam bod mi yodea im nimtza kol hayisados shemehem workova. Who knows if we've even discovered all of the elements that it's made of? I think he means now in the physical world. Is it not true that even in materials, we're not sure if we've found all of the elements? What do we have, 118 today?
Huh? Yeah. Question. Is he sort of saying that the elements that come with it aren't really what you need, and maybe like to put Gavura with humility, like to get rid of the other elements that pull you away from humility that come with Gavura, that we need to reconnect them in a different way?
Yeah, but he's saying the first step is to really know what we're looking
to
at.
To recognize what
Yeah, I'm
saying.
Looking at the sample. What's in this? Well, okay. I ran some tests. I know there's some of this in it and some of that, but what else is here?
Okay.
To really work with Amida, or if I see a negative behavior manifesting itself in my repertoire, so I want to know what's causing it.
Okay.
He says it's a very difficult study because I'm not even sure that I've discovered everything that's at play here. People are very complicated. He writes in parentheses, I think he just means this as an aside, but I don't know if he means in the physical world or in the spiritual world. He says some count 63 elements. That might be about the number that they had discovered at that time. I don't know. Anybody here a chemist?
No? I used to know that stuff.
I never did, so anyway, he says, and the matter jives with what we know based on Kabbalah. I don't know. She'ikar habinyan hu misamach gimel debina. Something in Kabbalah about 63 elements of bina. I plead ignorance. He quotes Eitz Chaim, which is Reb Chaim Vital, and some other svarim. But they're like fillers, they're like combinations and other things, so it's very hard to know. So it's very hard to know all of the different parts of Midah. Mikol makom, kol ma shenosif bozeh das, nosif lekach. That's a paraphrase of a pasuk in Mishlei. The more you study, the more you'll know. It's hard to know it all, but the more we analyze it, the more we'll come to understand. Uchashenargil atzmenu b'shlemus hayadiyah bozeh, yokel aleinu ol hazikuch. You know, as he's saying, it's a little bit difficult because it's hard to know it all. But the more we train ourselves in trying to develop our knowledge of these things, it'll make it easier upon us, the purification. If I don't study my midos at all, I'm not going to be able to purify them. If I studied, maybe I didn't get down to the bottom of everything, but I'll be able to discern a little bit. Okay, this is coming from here. This has to be removed. This we can leave. And so he gives an example. V'nirish ha'yesodos ha'muvonim b'tchilas ha'ashkafahem. It appears that the understandable elements, just from an initial look, are as follows. Notice what makes gaava, what makes arrogance. Aleph, ahavas atzmo b'mida gedola ma'od. Narcissism. Loving oneself in a very big measure. Shirotza limshoch kol ne'imus elo, that he wants to draw all pleasantness to himself. Okay, that's certainly at play in arrogance. Beis. Koach dimyon mate, dimyon is imagination or delusion, a delusional force that mate is from the word toes, that causes a mistake. Lahagdil kol ma sheyeshbo, to increase all that's within him, he means all that's good within him, beharbe kfol, manifold, mehamida ha'amitis, from the true measure. So he has a positive trait, but it's increased manifold in his mind. Gimel, Ode Taus Demionis, another delusional mistake, or it's a mistake that comes from the imagination. Sha'ayidei masha yaharher belibo, that by way of what he'll think about in his heart, v'yachlit chashivuso, that he'll decide, he'll make a hachlatas, a decision, he'll make a definitive decision about his importance, yiye be'emes chashiv u'mutzlach, that will in fact make him important and successful. It's as if like my imagination can create reality. And more he'll think about it, and so that actually, as if that actually makes it that way, isn't it? Afal pi shebe amitas hametzius enokein, even if in reality it isn't that way. Somehow he thinks if he thinks about it, and that's going to make the reality, even though it's not so. Alkein yizgaber la'ames ulahachzik demyono ze betzir bedibur umase. Therefore he seeks like to confirm, to verify his imagination by picture and by speech and by action. He wants to do things that confirm this delusion. I mean, we see this in the world, this expression, you know, if you say the lie enough times, people believe it. It certainly works on oneself. The more I convince myself on X, Y, and Z, so that'll actually make it true. Dalit, and number four, and you know, the cleanup batter is number four. He brings it all in. Klal Hakol, the overarching the rule of it all, who Sichlus biyedius mahus hamailus hamitius mahen, foolishness in the knowledge of the real essence of true mailus, true positive traits. He has a total misimpression of what is truly a good maila. His view of what's good is skewed. That's a general. He's not really pursuing what's truly good. He's pursuing some delusion of making himself feel good, which I think is what he's going to talk about in the coming pages. Ubavadai nimtzalaza od pratim prati pratim. There's no question that there are found here other details and details of details. Aval eila kefi hanira, but these, per what appears, lo tavono hagaiva belev mizulasim. You won't have arrogance come to the heart without them. These are four fundamental errors or bad midos that arrogance comes from them. You won't have arrogance without them, and also velotis rape, and it cannot be healed. Gava, arrogance cannot be healed. Kiim b'hafrodos hayesodos haroim ha'ela ulitzarfam b'kur ha'emes. But by unraveling these bad foundations and burning them in the crucible of truth, he has his delusional way of looking in the world. He's got to put it into the furnace of truth and burn it out and come. You know, he might have certain yearnings in life, and that's a good thing, but he's going the wrong way with it. He's got to put it back in the oven and cook it and come out with a different product. And that until he does that, he won't be on a path of pursuit of truth. And Amir Tzashem will continue next time carving. We'll continue our woodworking class next time. Amir Tzashem. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.